This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast with Fisherman and Tom. I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. With me, as always, is Tom. Tom!
Hey.
we should have a contest where people can write in and tell us how to start this damn show, because nothing I ever come up with seems to work. But it is another Saturday morning, and we actually had 2 weeks off from this tour as he finished up in Columbus, and we've talked about that show already. And the show is on two-week hiatus, and there has not been another show, but it does start up again tomorrow in Cardiff, stadium behind me. And I've already seen that people are on the internet. They're already lined up at the stadium. I don't know what the time difference is, but it's 9 a.m. Saturday morning here in Vegas, and I just can't imagine how many hours they line up. They do something where they leave. I hate it. I can't stand them. I'm thank God I don't need to sit down front.
Mm-hmm.
So Cardiff will be tomorrow. You think he's going to open No Surrender Ghosts, or you think we're going to get the two pack of rarities, or it's just going to be the same two that we saw over and over, like Lonesome Day Night. Well,
yeah, I have a feeling as he normally does do that. Once he comes back from a break, he'll play the standard set list. So we'll see. And then a lot of people are saying it'll be a Born in the USA, you know, filled tour because he's over there and they
and
get
what's the standard set list anymore? I mean, you know, they've gotten Kitty's Back is gone. Candy's Room was gone, but then it was the opener just very recently. Spirit of the Night is in. That was not in the whole when we saw him back in February of 2023, there was no Spirit of the Night. There was no I think I saw one Bobby Jean back then, but now Bobby Jean is in and out. It's back and forth between Glory Days. And we saw Glory Days every night back in the so the set list has mutated, it's changed, but I don't think he's gonna come out of the gate with a bit like a tour premiere or a super, super rarity. I think it's probably not gonna be No Surrender. I think that's no longer the opener. It's Lonesome Day Night or Night Lonesome Day, or there was a couple of tour premieres that opened the shows. I got to see Roll of the Dice open the show, and then Lonesome Day, and then I don't remember what was after Lonesome Day. But anyway, it's been mixed up enough where we're excited, we're curious, we shall see. It's that 8 to 10 songs from Last Man Standing on that just absolutely continues to stay the same.
Yeah, I'm to the point. I'm clicking off the concerts once that starts. You know, I'm just like, I can't go through this again. I can't listen to the Born to Run, Thunder Road. I can't even remember now. Just the same songs over and over.
Let me see if I can do it. And he's put in little mix em ups here and there recently, but it's Night Shift. And then maybe a wild card, or maybe it goes right into Last Man Standing, Backstreets, Because the Night, The Rising, Wrecking Ball? Or is it Wrecking Ball, The Rising? Might be Wrecking Ball, The Rising.
Yeah.
Rising, The Wrecking Ball. She's the One. I think I'm out of order, but these are the numbers. They're every single night. Badlands, Thunder Road, Born to Run. Sometimes there's a wild card in there before Born to Run. It's been Rosie. I don't think there'll be Rosie tonight. For some reason, over years, Rosie doesn't go to Europe. I think she got played once in Europe last time he was out there. And Rosie doesn't go to Europe, and Born in the USA doesn't stay home. He doesn't play Born in the USA here, and he doesn't play Rosie there. Why? I don't know. There might be a real reason, because you know, people have noticed that pattern. They might have a real reason that they don't tell us. I don't know.
I don't know. No one's missing it.
No one's missing Rosalita?
No, it used to be we'd all love it, but he just played it into the ground like a lot of songs.
So I think the only news is that Bruce was spotted in an arcade. Was it in New Jersey? Is it on the boardwalk Asbury Park?
Asbury Park. It's called the Silver Ball Retro Arcade. And I guess this is a hot spot in Asbury Park where they've got these old arcade games, like and Bruce was in there. They got pinball machines, Pac-Man. Bruce was playing Space Invaders, they say. And he was hanging in dusty arcades, banging them pleasure machines.
All right. And indeed he was. Space Invaders and Pac-Man. Old school.
Yeah.
You can play that shit on your watch now.
Yeah, and they thanked him for showing up.
I can imagine. I wonder what it does for business after, you know. I wonder how busy Roberto's is.
Yeah.
It's going to be busy when See Here Now comes. Oh, no, that's in Freehold, right? That's not in Asbury Park. Roberto's is in Freehold. He's not going to be busy for See Here Now.
True. Yeah, they mentioned that we'll see you at See Here Now.
Yes, they will. So did he get a high score? Do we know anything about the details of his game? Did he put a quarter when a kid was playing the machine and he wanted next? Did he put a quarter on the screen of the machine to reserve his spot? Does this mean anything to you? Did you ever go to arcades as a kid?
Not much. I was watching Charlie Rose. You know, I didn't have a real kid life.
So 1984 was the release of Bruce's biggest album, right? And Tom had a little bit to say about the 40th anniversary of Born in the USA.
Yeah, it's just a real shame. 40th anniversary of Born, his biggest album ever, Born in the USA. And no box set, no nothing. I mean, we know there's a ton of outtakes from Born in the USA that still haven't been released. He could release a concert video. We know we've got that, and nothing. So he's at the arcade, but no box set. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. He's really let down a lot of fans.
Oh, Ta. I mean, there's stuff that he doesn't want to release, or he does want to release, but he's not ready to release. You know, Bruce Springsteen is who Bruce Springsteen is. He is
He's very busy, obviously. He's at the arcade, a 74-year-old man playing.
He has a huge work ethic. He was about to fly off to Europe. He's playing Cardiff tomorrow for 100,000 people. He's living in the now. And, you know, I'm sure he thinks there's plenty of time for whoever becomes the curator of all my stuff after I'm gone to release all that stuff. Right now, I want to play live, and I don't want to work every minute of the day. I want to play Space Invaders.
He's now become a Hollywood actor on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Isn't there Space Invaders in one of the songs and Soul Crusaders while you're so young and in love? Doesn't that mention Space Invaders?
So, yeah.
He did Curb Your Enthusiasm. That, first of all, I've watched the two scenes from Curb Your Enthusiasm almost as much as I have watched my It's Hard to Be a Saint in the City video from 2023. That those two scenes are so great, especially the second scene where he's wearing the Edge's cap. I think he got that from the Edge. He's wearing the Edge's cap. And he's got the COVID. And he's like, you gave me COVID with the 3-card body. I love that. I think it goes down in history as great Bruce moments.
Yeah. He was really good in that.
All right. And that's it? That's your entire rant? I thought you had a whole rant about the Born in the USA box set. And where's my video? And where's my... And you're going to name songs that you want released and everything.
I've done it before on this show. I've listed so many outtakes. We've done it. There's plenty to be put out. And it's just laziness, I guess, on the part of the Bruce management, or just they just don't give a shit what we want to see and what we want to hear.
First of all, you use the word we. The views of Tom do not represent the world's greatest Springsteen podcast. He's in Europe right now. And if you keep wanting to drive home how it's the 40th anniversary of Born in the USA, he'll start pulling it out. He'll start playing the whole album at shows in Europe. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And most of the album is probably going to be in there most nights for this Europe tour, I think. You know, he plays heavy Born in the USA when he's in Europe. And I think that we could see full album Born in the USA. And he's been, maybe he has the sense of mind to go, we've done this over and over. We've done this. You know, there's even a video from London.
Yeah. Pro shot. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for full album shows, but I just want to hear the albums he hasn't done yet. There's so many we could choose from. We go on and on and on.
So. Well, then maybe we should be talking about the 36th anniversary of Tunnel of Love and be pushing for him to play that.
He doesn't seem to care about anniversaries.
And neither do I. But that does bring us to the conclusion of Tom's look at Tunnel of Love. See how I segued that?
You know? Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Someday somebody who sells podcasts is going to listen to this podcast and say, I can sell this.
Someday we'll be together. Yeah, so we got three songs, the last three songs on Tunnel of Love to review here.
I like to start out with reminding everybody the nine songs we've already talked about with we've already talked about them, so just name them so we know where we're at.
All right. Ain't Got You, Tougher Than the Rest, All That Heaven Will Allow, Spare Parts, Cautious Man, Walk Like a Man, Tunnel of Love, Two Faces, and Brilliant Disguise.
Did I make my joke when you did Spare Parts? Did I make my joke about Springsteen not writing songs about?
Yes, you made an inappropriate joke while I was getting emotional.
That's like one of my favorite Springsteen jokes that I wrote. I want to make sure I got it in there. I figured I probably did. And if you're listening now and you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to repeat it. You have to go back to last week's. Was that last week that we did Spare Parts or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks.
You have to wait 2 weeks to the Spare Parts. Tom's look at Spare Parts and you'll hear my brilliant joke about how Springsteen does or does not write songs. All right, so there's three songs left. And what are those songs?
Yeah, so number 10, One Step Up. This is probably the best video out there. I kind of misspoke last week, I think, when I was talking about Brilliant Disguise and I said that it was such a great video. I'm thinking in my head, I was thinking about One Step Up. Brilliant Disguise, really not much happens in the video. You know, I think he's on a bar stool in the kitchen playing.
I thought that's what you meant when you said that was your favorite video, that you liked him just on the bar stool playing. What happens in the One Step Up video?
Yeah, the One Step Up video is really got a great story. A lot is going on in this video. First of all, he's, you know, at some point in the video, he's made to look older. They do a lot of hair and makeup and they make him look like the older Bruce.
They've been doing that for this whole tour. Have you noticed?
Oh, I did. Yeah, it's working. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely, my God, just like 5 years prior, he looked so much younger and youthful. And he's playing this death thing, this death theme all the way. I mean, he really looks 74 now. So congratulations.
I would say he doesn't look 74, but he's not trying to look 50 anymore.
Right. So this is an excellent video. So this was the third single released. it ended up going to number two on the album rock charts, or the album rock track charts, whatever that is. And it was also, there was a B-side to the release, which was Roulette.
One of my favorites, Roulette, which was a nightly. That was a nightly on the tour, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really where I knew it from was the tour.
Yeah, Tunnel of Love tour was played a lot, and it's been played, you know, throughout all the tours, really. He'll break it out at least once, I think.
We might have talked about this before. There's an Eddie Vedder cover of One Step Up that he recorded, I think, before Pearl Jam, before there was. I mean, he's young. It's a demo. I think he recorded it a la Nebraska, just on like a cassette recorder. I've heard it many times. It sounds like he's actually singing over a karaoke track. Like it's the exact music from the Bruce song, but it's Eddie Vedder singing. It's really, really nice. He's got such a great voice.
Yeah, he does. The song One Step Up, it reflects on his breakup of his marriage to his first wife. And in the song, he alludes to the fact that they fight a lot during this marriage. And he mentions slamming doors and dirty little wars. And he ends up in the video at a strip club drinking and thinking about possibly cheating on his wife. And he takes credit for his part in the marriage problem here, saying that I look at myself and I don't see the man I wanted to be. And in the video, Patty sings, or in the song, Patty sings backup vocals during the song. And the video was recorded at the Wonder Bar in New Jersey. And it was performed very little, if at all, on the Tunnel of Love tour. And then it was played sometimes during the Devils and Dust tour. And it was actually played for the first time in 26 years with the E Street Band in Houston, 2014, during the High Hopes tour.
Now, is there more? Because I don't want to cut you off.
No.
I completely got this song wrong. Because I thought it's about a guy whose furnace doesn't work. And he's at the bar because he's waiting for the furnace guy to come fix his furnace. And that when he looks in the mirror, he doesn't see the man he wanted to be because he expected to be the kind of guy who could fix his own furnace. And I guess I got all that wrong.
Yeah, I don't take Springsteen for someone who could ever fix a furnace.
So he woke up in the morning, the house was cold, the furnace wasn't burning. And then he gets in his car and it's not working. So he goes to the bar, he's waiting for the furnace guy. And he just like goes in the bathroom and he looks in the mirror and he's like, I wanted to be the guy who could fix his own car, the guy who could fix his own furnace, but I'm not. I'm some other man. And that is what I thought that was about. I didn't know there was a woman involved at all.
I don't even think Springsteen has a furnace.
I'm sure he has more than one.
Has Bruce ever woke up and the house was cold? I mean, come on. Multimillionaire.
These days, when he wrote that song, he wasn't that many years separated from waking up on the porch. Wasn't he living on somebody's porch?
No.
Yeah.
No,
Bruce was living on someone's porch.
Not in 1988.
No, but that's not a lot of years. Think about, he's been a star god for 50 years now. But in 1988, you're talking about 13 years since Born to Run, which was, he was still on edge. Even after two albums, he was still broke.
Born in the USA, he was,
That was only 4 years before. You know,
yeah,
you're talking about sure. He's a different man now than he was in 88, and he was a different man in 88 than he was in 78. And all that comes from, you know, he had nothing, and then he had a lot, and now he has everything.
Yes, that's true.
And that's what he said he wanted on that box set, that live box set. He wanted it all.
Man, I want to hear what he has to say on the new box set.
All right, so that's just one song, right? We've only gone over one song.
Yes.
We got two more to go.
I do like your interpretation. So we got When You're Alone.
You ain't nothing. Ain't nothing but alone.
Yeah, what a great song this is. Oh my God.
What if you're alone and what if you're alone and hungry? Then you're alone and hungry.
This was done in 1993 on a, let me see. Yeah, he did this song in 1993 with the other band. In Count Basie Theater in New Jersey. He did it 6 times on the Tom Joad tour, 5 times on the Devils and Dust tour. So, the song itself is about being alone after.
Wait, that really?
It's about being alone. Yeah. So I had to listen to it a couple of times. But
when you're alone, yeah. You ain't nothing but alone. Tom's interpretation, it's about being alone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about being alone after his wife had basically had it with him. And she leaves him. Just as you may know, women initiate 80% of the divorces in this country. So,
yeah, well, maybe in the song, but in the real life, I think it was a photo of a balcony, some underwear.
Yeah, well, the point is she divorced him, so. He may have stuck it out with her, who knows, you know, but they're quick to end things. So
a redheaded woman on the balcony.
In the song, he says basically that she'll be fine after this breakup because she still looks good and she's got millions and millions of dollars because of the settlement. Doesn't mention that in the song, but
I was gonna say, what part of When You're Alone does it mention? Their settlement. I know nothing about their settlement.
Oh, yeah, it was public. And he says that he says in the song that he knew that she'd be back one day and forget about the bad and think of all the good times. Without any hard feelings, he's just, you know, singing about that nobody knows where love goes, but when it's gone, it's gone.
And I don't think this song really has anything to do with Bruce Springsteen at all. I don't think that it was influenced by his own relationships.
Oh, I totally disagree.
Well, I know. I let you go first. You explained exactly that you think that it directly related to his divorce. But
I think the whole album.
I think that some... In the same way that The Rising relates to 9/11, but yet half of it was written before 9/11. And it's like, you know, it might be thematic, but it's not all encumbersome. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could listen to the album and take away what you want to relate it to yourself and in your own breakups and problems with marriage and stuff. But I think, they have a lot to do with his own personal life. And in this particular album, it may be as close to his personal life than any album.
All right. And that's the penultimate song on Tunnel of Love, which leads us to the final song, the last track of Tunnel of Love, which is.
Yeah, this is Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Which, if anybody, I think of like a woman seeing the title and saying, "Wow, that sounds like a happy song," but no, is not. And this song in particular is credited for me never getting married. And it's an excellent song on a beautiful album. And it's about, in the song, Bruce is driving around thinking about what he's losing. And he mentions that a friend of his became a father. And Bruce is thinking about the fact that he won't be a father now because of this breakup. You know, and that depresses him. And he misses her a lot. And she left, and she's definitely not coming back. And it scares him that he's lost her. It was played 6 times during the Devils and Dust tour.
Was it ever played before the Devils and Dust tour?
No, it doesn't look like it.
Was one of those times Grand Rapids, Michigan?
It could be. I don't have those dates. I don't have that here.
I think he played in Grand Rapids, and I think I was there. I mean, I know I was there in Grand Rapids, but I think he played it in Grand Rapids. I saw it. That's a nugs. I just don't have the memory to like declare, yes, that's when that I was definitely there when he played it, and it was at the Grand Rapids show. My memory's fried. So, but I think I did get to hear Valentine's Day live.
So great. You know, I mentioned before this Devils and Dust tour was so excellent because he had the opportunity to play songs like this off the Tunnel of Love album, and he did play the entire album, you know.
And he never played it at all on the Tunnel of Love tour. It never came out once.
No, and you could see why. I mean, he's with the band, and it's just these songs are so slow, and it just would have been a little difficult, I think. If he would have done what he does now, where he like ends the show and plays just by himself with an acoustic guitar, and the band's maybe left the stage already, you know, a song like that would have worked great. But back then, he really wasn't doing that.
Right. All right. Well, that is Tom's look at Tunnel of Love. One of these days, I'll cut together both the Rising and the Tunnel of Love into their own shows where it's the best of Tom's, all of Tom's look at Tunnel of Love, make a special out of it and put it out. Once I do everything else that's on my list, I will get to that. And you're already looking at a new album. What's the new album you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to do the Ghost of Tom Joad.
One of Tom's favorites, the Ghost of Tom Joad. We'll probably have that ready in the coming weeks. And we'll go over Tom Joad. But I was thinking that I want you to do a letter to you. But then I was like, what I really care about is I really want to talk about if I were a priest. And there's a lot of reasons. We discussed it before the show. There's a lot of reasons I want to talk to you about it, because I know you love that song. And I know you hate Wrecking Ball. And I know the reason you hate Wrecking Ball is because you think that the lyrics are silly. And if I were a priest, it's like basically gibberish. So I want you to take a look real close. And if I were a priest, and I'd like to talk about that next week on because, you know, I think that there's reasons beyond the lyrics on why people like or dislike a song. And if I were a priest is an interesting one because, boy, it is a silly song. It's very silly.
I mean, if the song is so great, like that song is, it really doesn't matter what the lyrics are. If that sounds as good as that, I mean, sometimes you can get away with some crazy lyrics. And I don't think they're bad lyrics. We could discuss whether they make a whole lot of sense and what it means to us and everything. But if a song is as fantastic as If I Were the Priest, it doesn't really matter at that point.
Someone once said it's all about the hook. It's all about the hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Wrecking Ball just had the right hook, you'd forgive the mosquitoes.
Yeah. Wrecking Ball, you know, was a song like he kind of jotted down before the show, was just scribbling and kind of like a joke almost, and then released it. And it was fine because of the tearing down the stadium, and it made sense. And it was a, and then, but the, my real problem with Wrecking Ball, and I think I've mentioned it before, is he turned it into this anthem, like it's The Rising, you know, that he has to do every night. And not only that, he named an album after it. Like, this is a big deal when you name an album and the title is in there.
Me and it's Bruce. Like,
now this is like a really, you're telling the world like this is like a great song. Not only is this a great song, I'm going to name the album after it and I'm going to release it like it's Born to Run. And then he did it again with High Hopes. High Hopes, I kind of like, but it's a cover song. It's not even his song. And he named the album High Hopes. I mean, it's like, what are you doing to your legacy here? And like, these are forever. He's only got so many albums, you know, he's like got, I don't know, 21, 22 albums. And it's like, you got to be real careful with that. You know, you don't want to, you know, when you name an album High Hopes, come on. I mean, just throw it in there as a bonus track, fine. But you gotta come up with a different title. Song maybe you wrote would be nice.
The views of Tom do not represent the world's greatest Springsteen podcast.
Oh God, I gotta lay off the coffee.
Me and Bruce have something in common. I mean, we have a few things in common, not a lot. We have a few things in common. And one of those things is we both like Wrecking Ball. He likes Wrecking Ball. He doesn't write a song and name the album after it because he doesn't like it. And he's not calling into the world's greatest Springsteen podcast for our opinion on it either. He names it. He's happy with it. And he must be happy with it. He plays the motherfucker every single night.
Well, if he would just come on here and listen to a few suggestions, things would be a lot better. And he would show up in Cardiff with brown hair, that's for sure.
You know, he actually did call in last week and I ended up, we didn't have time, I left him on hold. So that's your homework for next week, is you need to do your deep dive into one song. Just give me one song. I Were a Priest from the Letter to You. I mean, if you want to look back at some of the older versions and compare them, that's fine too. But I want to talk about If I Were a Priest next week when you've gotten to read over the lyrics and maybe get an idea of what you really like about it. And I'm not saying I'm bringing it up because I don't like it. I love that song. I'm just trying to make a point about songs that people don't like. And then they say why. And it's like, well, here's a song you like that is exactly what you just described, what you don't like about the other song.
Yeah.
So yesterday I had no power. I had no power for like 20 hours yesterday. Our power went out. But 2 days ago, I had the chance to see She Came to Me. Do you know what that is, Tom?
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately. First of all, do you like the song?
The song's okay. I think you and I both listened to it a few times, and you know, it's not great, but it's not a bad song.
Well, from now I'm pretty certain that he wrote the song specifically for the movie, so without the movie there'd be no song. Anyway, I checked out the movie. The movie's on Hulu for free. Hulu's not free, but if you're a Hulu customer, you can watch She Came to Me on Hulu without paying for any pay-per-view or anything like that. And so I saw it there. I was like, oh, that's the song. That's the one with Addicted to Romance. I knew very little about it. I guess we talked about it before. So at one time I knew Peter Dinklage was the star, but I had forgotten. But I knew that was the name of the movie. It's Peter Dinklage and Marissa Tomei and Anna Kendrick. You know, Anna Kendrick, you know her? Mm-hmm. And I got to tell, I'm going to go through this as quick as I can, but I got to tell everybody who's listening that if you're not about spoilers, you might want to fast forward or go get a sandwich, because I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie. If you plan on seeing it and you don't want spoilers, check out now. But I'm going to spoil it. So Peter Dinklage, man, he plays this opera composer. He writes opera music, which, oh yeah, I'm all about opera. and he's blocked, and he had a nervous breakdown before the movie, and at some time he married his psychiatrist who got him through his problem, and that's Anna Kendrick. And she has Anna Kendrick has a son. I'm not even going to get into that whole storyline, I don't think. I hope I can just avoid the whole son's storyline and just talk about Dinklage, who is he's blocked. He can't write. Everybody's looking for his next great opera, and he can't write. And his wife kicks him out of the house, not permanently, but for the day, to go on a walk, on an adventure, meet people, get out of this fucking house. And he goes to a bar, and he meets Marissa Tomei. And Marissa Tomei is addicted to romance. She confesses that to him right away, and that she stalked the star of multiple rom-coms, that she had to go through classes for her stalking and for her addiction to meeting men and falling in love with them and becoming attached to them. And she tells him all this. And then and she's a tugboat captain. She drives a tugboat. She tows large barges through narrow canals so that the barge can't drive itself through the narrow canal. So she's a tough woman, and she's still gorgeous. Marissa Tomei. Oh my God. She brings Dinklage, married Dinklage, back to her tugboat where she lives. And she seduces him because after her telling him how she falls in love and she stalks and she's had problems with the law and she's had to go to shrinks and everything, he still thinks it's a good idea to follow her home, and he has sex with her. And what happens? She falls in love with him and she starts talking like they're going to have a relationship. But I'm not. A lot happens in this movie, man. There is a whole sub storyline with his wife's kid, who gets in trouble because he's 18 and his girlfriend is 16, and she's got a stepfather or an adopted father who, even though the mother doesn't want to press charges, he is just dead set on pressing charges against this boy. And he helps the kids get married. Dinklage does. He helps the kids get married to get out from under this statutory rape charge. And he helps them escape the city on the tugboat. He calls the tugboat stalker girl after he tells her, "You got to get out of my life. I'm married. Leave me alone." He calls her asking for a favor. And he realizes, oh, I forgot the most important part. He writes his opera. After he has sex with the tugboat operator, Marissa Tomei, he writes his opera, and it is literally about her. I didn't even get if the movie was supposed to be, if the opera was supposed to be good opera or it was supposed to be terrible opera, because I can't tell the difference. But it seemed like it was supposed to be, like it was a comedy and it was supposed to be terrible opera. She's singing in the opera, "I am addicted to romance, and I need to be with a man," and they have sex in the opera, and then she kills him in the opera, because that's what the opera's about, a woman who lures men back to her tugboat and murders them. And it's a huge hit, and she comes and sees it, and then she's in love even more because she's his muse. And that's when he tells her, I can't see you anymore." But then he needs the favor to help save the kid. They get back together, and he realizes he's in love with her. She is his muse. He's in love with her, and that he, too, is addicted to romance. And then the Bruce song comes on, and it is a weird fucking movie. And the aspect ratio keeps changing. Sometimes it's widescreen and fills your TV, and sometimes it looks like the old-fashioned TV where it's square. And there was some reason. At first, I thought maybe he can only afford widescreen film for so much of the movie, but there's some reason within the plot of when certain things are happening, it's widescreen, and when certain things are happening, I don't know how. I'm not sure how Bruce got involved or how they got him to write this. It's a good song. I like the song. I really liked it at the Stand Up for Heroes. It comes on at the end of the credits. That was my favorite part. I'm not even saying it's a bad movie. It wasn't a bad movie. It's just a weird fucking movie. It is a weird fucking movie. Nobody, you don't see Peter Dinklage as a opera composer, and you don't see Marissa Tomei as a tugboat operator. And it's just, oh, and Anna Kendrick, it's okay that her husband cheated on her ends up leaving her, because deep down she's always wanted to be a nun, and she becomes a nun. This movie is fucking weird, man. Anyway, I hope that didn't take too long. That is She Came to Me, one song by Bruce Springsteen. He was nominated for a Golden Globe for that song.
Just cut all that out.
That is good content and important content. That's a serious Bruce song written for a movie. And
I mean, after that review just made me want to jump out a window.
It wasn't a review. That was like what you call a synopsis. I like pretty much gave you the entire plot of the movie. The review was, I think I liked it. I didn't like it enough to say I liked it. I think I liked it, but it's so fucking weird. It wasn't horrible. It's just stupid. It's really stupid. And I didn't understand why it kept changing aspect ratios. She's like, I stalk men and I drive them crazy and they got to get the law on me. Would you like to come back to my boat? Yes.
So Marissa Tomei really has this Springsteen connection here, because she was in The Wrestler and she looked fantastic in that movie. Oh my God.
She still looks fantastic. She looks older and rough, her face and her hands, because she's a tugboat captain. I'm sure they went out of their way to make it look that way. When she goes to seduce him, she takes off her something and she's wearing like a corset underneath, and the woman is still sexy as hell.
Oh, hell yeah. But is that realistic that she would be with that guy?
Peter Dinklage? It's not realistic that she would be a tugboat captain. No, nothing in this movie was realistic. There was no opera. It was, his next opera, he gets commissioned to write another opera after his opera is a big hit. His opera was called She Came to Me, the same as the movie. After his opera is a big hit, he's commissioned to write another opera, which is about aliens.
Well, luckily, no one has seen this movie but you, and no one will see it.
It's on Hulu. Check it out. It's got a Bruce song at the very end over the credits, Addicted to Romance, which comes right from the script. I mean, she says it on their encounter, and then it's in the lyrics, and it's part of the opera, and you hear that because he goes through rehearsals. They show the scene in the opera in the movie, so you probably hear the opera lady. They're rehearsing when he gets in a fight with the opera singer because she can't sing it the way he hears it in his head. I mean, it's good. I didn't dislike this movie. I didn't dislike it. I just think it was weird. I didn't quite get it.
It was entertaining. Well, let me ask you this, and you could cut it out, but just between you and I, does she take her clothes off?
Well, no, I think it was rated R, maybe for language, maybe for subject matter. There was no nudity that I can recall. Show pictures of the daughter. She's supposed to be underage, and she's supposed to be naked in the pictures. I don't think you could really see that she was naked. And I don't think she's really underage. I think it was just subject matter. I don't remember any. There's no nudity in movies anymore. You have to go to 70s and 80s movies if you want to see nudity.
Well, she took her clothes. She looked great in The Wrestler.
Not much nudity in movies anymore. A lot of dick. You noticed? It's okay now. Somewhere we crossed over. It used to be no dick unless it was X. Full frontal women, no problem. Like 70s, you could have full frontal women in R-rated movies. 80s, full frontal women in R-rated movies. 90s, kind of nobody. No more full frontal. And then 2000, the last 20 years, dick everywhere. No problem with dick. But in women, I don't know, man, a little side boob. That's about it. You don't see that in conventional R-rated movies anymore.
Just cut all that out.
All right. I have notes. I want to make sure we didn't miss anything. Here we go. Tom's Lists, a regular feature here on the world's greatest Springsteen podcast, Tom's List. And today I'm excited about this one, Tom. Tom's top five frog songs. You gotta explain to me what that means.
Yeah, this is important. So five songs where he discusses frogs or mentions frogs. The number one song here, it will be no surprise to anyone, which is Froggy Went A-Courtin'. There's no explanation here. It's right there in the title. So,
and it's a cover. I didn't know the list could have covers.
Well, I got a little desperate, so I had to throw it in there. Number two is All I'm Thinking About Is You.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the frog line, though.
Okay, you don't remember the line where he mentions he says, brown bag filled with a little green toad.
Toads and frogs are not the same thing.
Yes, they are.
For purposes of Tom's list, toads and frogs will be considered the same thing.
Yeah, even snakes could be frogs in this list.
Oh, no, okay. Amphibians, all amphibians. Tom's top five amphibian mentions.
Then we got Soul Driver.
Baby, let me be your soul rider. I don't know. I don't know where he says frogs.
All right. Well, here's the line. He says, rode through 40 nights of the gospel's rain. Black sky pouring snakes, frogs, and love in vain.
Kind of biblical, I guess, right? Like,
yeah.
Frogs from the sky?
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't remember that. But
lyrics. Yeah. I'm, you know, even Bruce Springsteen has a fucking teleprompter. I'm supposed to remember all the lyrics.
Then we got I Ain't Got No Home.
Ain't got no home. That's a different song, right? I ain't got no money.
You know this one. It's got a video and everything.
I Ain't Got No Home. From what album?
Never put on an album. It's
and it's got a video?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did the video with the black leather jacket. He did two songs. I Ain't Got No Home and what the hell was the other one? This was around.
I don't remember this one. I don't remember I Ain't Got No Home.
Yeah, it was right around Born in the USA, between Born in the USA and Tall.
I remember I Ain't Got No Home in This World No More from the Seeger Sessions tour that he was opening the show with, but that was a cover.
Yeah. In this song, he says, I can sing like a bird. I can sing like a frog. I'm a lonely frog. Yeah. So go back and listen to that.
I will. What was it called?
I Ain't Got No Home.
I Ain't Got No Home from no album, but it's released.
Yeah. It's a pro recording and a video also.
A video. Is it on the what do you call it? The big collection of videos that you have, that archive of video, that video full of all his videos?
You know, it might be. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Right. I'll find it on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube.
It's on there. Then we got one of our favorites, Madam Morris Banks.
There are some frogs. I imagine there's some frogs on the banks of the Madam Morris Banks.
Yeah, he says, the frogs eat the skin from your eyes.
Yeah. Remind me never to go swimming at Madam Morris.
Yeah, you don't want a vacation at Madam Morris Banks. It's like going to Mexico.
How many is that?
I don't know, but I've got one last one.
And that would be four.
So we got Leah.
I know that song, but I can't tell you where there's from. Leah. Na, 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 na. No, wait, that's Philadelphia. Na, 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 na. Something like that.
Leah, yeah, on Devils and Dust. So he says, high above this road, filled with shadow and doubt, I want to shoulder my toad and figure it all out.
More toads. Frog and Toad are friends.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good book. Frog and Toad are friends. From childhood, you must remember Frog and Toad are friends.
Oh, those are his frog songs.
All right. Next. Well, we've been playing Lurtle a lot because I'm lazy. So I think what we should do is give these people a good round of Hurdle. And if you've got time, I will set you up with some hurdles.
Okay. Yeah, you're always the one that's pressed for time.
All right, Tom. It is another edition of Springsteen Hurdle. It's been a while since we've played. I've been lazy, and it's a lot easier to pull up a bunch of lyrics than it is to pull up Springsteen Hurdles. But I got a few in the bag for you today. We will start with today's. This is actually today's Springsteen Hurdle.
Trying to get it with this first note here.
I would run in and steal it from you if I had any idea.
Yeah, I have an idea if it would just come to me. Man. Yeah, maybe give me some more.
The Promise.
Yep.
No, it is not The Promise. That's what you get for believing me.
It sounded good to me.
It did. All right. Next clue comes automatically when you get it wrong.
Okay. Is it Racing in the Street?
It is not Racing in the Street. Next clue. Stolen Car.
I could go with that.
It is not Stolen Car.
All right, hang on. Give me a second here.
I'll give you a second, but they've already given us the next clue. We might as well listen to it.
No, no, no.
Okay.
I'm going to get this. Damn it. I think it's one of those songs that it's got like the music from Racing in the Street, but it's a different song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a couple of different tracks out there on some of the the left off albums that have the same music as a different song or the same lyrics with different music as a different song. Yeah, that's possible.
And if it's off the rate, it wouldn't be off the river box.
The river or the darkness, probably.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the next clue. We've already been charged the clue. We might as well listen.
Okay.
You're off on Stolen Car there.
Yeah, it sure sounds like Stolen Car. Found me a little girl and I settled down in a pretty little house in a pretty little town. Yeah. Rock. It's definitely now. Now it's gone from racing in the streets to stolen car, but it's not stolen car. You have any clue?
I still think it's The Promise. Not
But we
really.
do.
We've no, not really. We put it in. It's not The Promise. I'm kidding. I have no idea what this is. No idea. No idea. I'm ready for the next clue. We get one more clue before we lose.
You know, it might be on tracks.
Your favorite. You got as many favorites as Stevie.
I found me a little girl and I settled down in a
Is there more than one stolen car that I missed the other one in the list? Is it like stolen car something version? Alternate version, son of a bitch.
Oh,
We
come
got
on.
screwed. There it
Yeah.
is. It was stolen car all along.
Right, so
Alternate
there.
version.
We were let off the hook there. I think that's what it, you said that first, I think, right?
Early on, the proof is in the video. All right, Tom, we're not starting out real good with that tracks rarity and your favorite box set too. While in between rounds, we did look into it, and I think it might also appear on the River box set on the Ties That Bind disc. So, been around. We'll try round two. Maybe we'll get something easier. These are completely at random. This could be Born in the USA. This could be a real easy one. Real softball. Let's check it out. The Promise.
No, that is the angel.
Wow. Let's see if you're right. The Angel. You got it. On the money. One note.
The angel rides.
A weird song. It's got a weird melody.
Oh, I love it. Great version that he did when he did the entire album in Buffalo.
Here we go, round three. Dead Man Walking.
I'll go with that.
Not even in the database. Dead. Is that on any album?
I did he throw it on Essentials?
I don't think it's on. I don't think it's on Springsteen Earl Hurdle because it doesn't show up as a choice when I type in dead. Let's try again. Devils in Dust. I got my finger on the trigger.
Oh, that could be. Yeah.
I got one in one note.
Very good.
Luckily, because Dead Man Walking wasn't in the database.
Is it on the new greatest hits?
I don't think so. I think that maybe she hasn't loaded that in here. Maybe it is. I don't know if it's on the greatest hits or not. I don't know. It's controversial. It doesn't put a lot of controversial stuff. It's 41 shots on. The greatest hits.
Man, should be.
And the world's greatest Springsteen podcast should know one
Yeah.
way or the other if it is. Here's round something, I think four.
We've done shows where we address all that, so.
That is true. So there was a time when we knew it for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, God. Is it I'm going down? Or am I thinking of a different song?
No, I think you're right. I think it's I'm going down. Doing well today. Doing well today.
You know what that song's about?
Yes, it's about love, the fickleness of love.
Okay, you could be right.
It's about when you first meet a girl and everything they say is brilliant and everything they do is just so precious, and come back 6 months later and that thing that was once so brilliant, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. How'd I end up with someone as stupid as you? All right, here we go. Round something. Springsteen hurdle. Uh-oh.
Pay me my money down.
I don't know how many times, I don't know how many notes it would have taken me to get this, but I wouldn't have got it done.
I thought I heard.
You thought you heard the captain say, and you did. Pay me my money down. You are cranking on this game. No wonder we play Lurtle. At least I get to embarrass you a little bit on Lurtle.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a hard one to go out on. I usually let you save face on the last one, but you've just done too good today. I got to find a hard one. Here we go. Round 27, Springsteen hurdle. I can get this, but pay me my money down is stuck in my head. I know what it is. The sapphire was in the street with blood.
It's on
up
Devil's
the stairs,
Eve.
Up the stairs, into the fire. It's into the fire. All right, go ahead. You think.
All right, hang on.
It's on the rising.
I could be Reno, but I'm not positive. I don't want that to be my final answer. But if you want to go ahead, well, I mean, if you do it, that's fine.
If I put it in, it goes to the next clue. You ready? You want, is Reno your guess or not?
I have to think a little bit more here.
It's not into the fire.
No. It's on Devils and Dust. Go ahead and put Reno in. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
it is Reno. You got it right. It is Reno. Somewhere out here, there is one that you will not get, and I will find it. It's been 3 weeks since we played this game, and that means I got at least 21 puzzles to choose from.
All right, we're on number 28. You took off her stockings.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Here we go. Round number 63, Springsteen hurdle.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Bon Jovi song, right? Oh, Harry's Place. You are kicking serious ass today, Tom. I might not stop you, stump you. I might not stump you.
We found my talent. Some people can paint. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This was in your three songs from Tunnel of Love.
No.
No?
That is on Cracks, and it is, let me see, give me a second. Loose Change.
You are just absolutely kicking ass today, Tom. I'm gonna run out trying to find one to stump you. I am gonna run out of Springsteen hurdles.
Come on.
Glory days, right?
Yeah.
One more, man. If this is another softball, I don't know where else to go. I kind of jumped around in April, but I don't remember what dates I did. I'm going to end up hitting the same ones.
think I know it. I think it's on Human Touch or Lucky Town.
I had to go back in April. I think the last time we played this was like 4 weeks ago. Didn't we have Gloria's Eyes? Could this be Gloria's Eyes?
I don't think so. Let me just think for a second here. Let me hear that again. You have any idea?
Gloria's Eyes? It is not Gloria's Eyes.
Let me hear that one more time. It is The Long Goodbye.
Tom, I just can't stump you this week, and I gotta get out of here. So I think you
You're
will
always in a
be.
rush.
I'm always in a rush, I know, but I think that you had a perfect round. I don't think you had one that really stumped you. I got a couple in there myself, but that'll bring us to the end of another World's Greatest Springsteen podcast. For Tom, I am Fisherman the Bootlegger who pays the highest price. And the world's greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.